Hello Internet, this is Ewan Spence and ESE Insight calling. It's time for another episode of Jukebox Jury. This episode was recorded before the Eurovision Song Contest 2020 was cancelled, but the songs are still out there, they all were selected by broadcasters, they're all going to appear on the official CD, and they're all going to get a hit, a miss, or a maybe.
Hello! Internet.
I'm Ewan Spence.
I'm Laura Clay.
And I'm Donna Sluggin.
And this is
Jukebox
Jury. Up in front of the bench today, Australia, Croatia, Norway, Belarus, and Lithuania. Yes, good afternoon, good morning, good evening. Welcome to Jukebox Jury, our adventure in music for 2020 as we take the songs of the Eurovision Song Contest, put them in front of our judges, discuss them, debate them, dissect them, find out how delicate they are, and then go hit, miss, or maybe at the end of all that with no rhyme nor reason whatsoever apart from have a nice podcast, a nice radio show, and start some debate back on the website. ESCinsight.com and all the other places on social media, you're welcome to join in. And joining me in the studio today for our five songs, it's a welcome back to Laura Clay.
Hello.
That nearly rhymed there.
Hey.
Hey.
You're poor, you didn't know it.
No, I'm not. I'm really not. And also, coming back for more jury service, we have Donna Sluggett from ESE Fan TV.
Hello again, everyone. Yes, I'm back again.
Yes, so we have another five. We're going to finish off with Lithuania, reverse order, Belarus then, Norway then, Croatia. But we will open up with Australia, their second national selection show this year, brought Montaigne to the top of the leaderboard and then sort of usurped by Dami M going, I'll do it next year. But our focus isn't there. Our focus is Montaigne and Don't Break Me. Break Me There, Montaigne, winning through a pretty competitive national final down in Australia, it has to be said. But I do think that a lot of her vote came from a personal vote of knowing the artist and having a great big connection. That's great in Australia, but it ain't no good at Eurovision.
Yeah, I mean, anyone who's going to be watching this is probably, assuming she keeps the same staging, is just going to kind of be thinking, why is there a clown? Is this interpretive dance? Is this a fringe show gone wrong?
No, it's actually she's doing her drama college exam and we are all having to like witness it all.
And there is a good stage show actually underneath there. Take away the rough, do something 21st century with, or even 20th century with the hair, and you've got a good bit of interpretive dance. I mean, I go back to Azerbaijan 2015 and you had the singer and you had the dancers in the background and you had this lovely id versus, you know, id versus reality versus ego versus superego playing out in the backstage. But for people who weren't that deeply involved in all that stuff, they just went, some nice dancers, really great voice. It's got potential in here, but I worry that Australia, following last year with Kate Miller-Headke and the Dementors, that Australia are going to go, are the secrets to just be big and overblown and over-exaggerated? And I just want to tell them, no, just find something just a little bit more appropriate.
I mean, in some ways, the staging of this song, because it is a nice song. I mean,
yeah, because
the lyrics
we've just
are
talked
really
about,
well written.
We've talked about the staging straight away,
yeah.
And we've missed the song, and that's
totally
what I worry about.
Yeah, so if you strip that staging away, it's quite good.
Yeah, it's not a circus, and you just feel that after Kate's exploration on stage and a lot of money spent on it, clearly, this is the cheap, dumbed-down version.
It does feel like a Tesco value extravagant staging.
Aye.
We spent all of our budget on Dementors, have a wig and a neck tutu.
Yes. And then stick me in the middle of some dancers and I'll wiggle.
Wiggle. And I won't take your flyer.
No.
And it is a shame because there is a song in there. I can't get past the staging, it has to be said, but when I listen to it just in the audio, there is something there.
Yes, and actually, her live staging as well, because she's part of the dance, she's part of that actual movement, and she's not static or minimally moving. Her vocal is suffering, yeah. I feel, in this. The studio version is lovely, an absolutely lovely song, but if she'd tone it down a little bit, and she's got enough dancers on stage, they can do their thing to express it behind. Yeah, they just need to rein it back in a little. And
they were National Farmers at like the start of February, so they had a good 6 weeks to workshop this before having to hand in the stage directions to the EBU, the heads of delegation meeting. The song was pretty much there, but it did need amplified by the staging. So to me, I'm going to ignore the staging that we've seen at the national final,
mm-hmm.
because the song is a maybe, but it could be lifted by the staging. But then I look at the staging and the history of Australia in the last couple of years and how they're going a bit BBC. I don't think that there's going to be there. So it sits as a maybe for me, but there's a quiet nod to Paul Clark there going, just tone it back one notch. We don't need 11.
Yeah, rein it in. I think it's a maybe for me. It's a maybe.
Yes, and the best I can give it is a maybe, because if they're going beyond Tesco value, it's not going to work, I don't think.
We shall see soon enough. And of course, if you already are disagreeing with the comments or even agreeing, ESEinsight.com and Facebook and Twitter /ESEinsight for both of those as well. While you're getting ready to log on and tell us why we're all completely wrong, or at least I am, let's head over to Croatia and Damir Kedzo with Vizhi Vejtre. There and yeah, the English translation is Whirlwind. What we have here is, I want to say Balkan ballad, but actually I'm going to say it's barely a Balkan ballad, because a real Balkan ballad gets my blood flowing, and this is just, oh, I should put the kettle on. I mean, I'll enjoy this with a nice cup of tea.
I don't want to stand up and rotate Knez style. I just want to just lie down and pray for the end of times.
Yes, this is the song that I think you just need a little break to disappear for a few minutes, come back, all will be well.
Yeah, he's really good. He's got a long record in television and stage, and that will stand him in good stead. But I think we're in the same situation with Damir that we have with Montaigne, which is what's got him through is not the song. What's got him through is everybody went, ah, that's Damir. I like him. He did insert Damir song here that different people will like, because everybody will like a different song. So he gets through on that public vote, and he brings through a rather staid Balkan ballad.
I mean, I've kind of already forgotten it. Again, it's very much kind of by the numbers. It's a sad boy. There were so many more interesting things going on in that final.
Yeah, it's got a nice rise and fall and a flow. Yeah. You can tell the chorus from the actual, you know, main body of the song. But I agree. But I've almost forgotten it as soon as it started.
It doesn't do anything wrong.
No, it's very pleasant as well.
We're back to that thing of, I want a strong emotion from the songs at Eurovision, and this is not giving me a strong emotion.
No, and compared to some of the other ones that we'll have even listened to in this particular episode and other podcast entries, it doesn't cut it for me.
No, it's very much just mediocre for me.
Yeah, it'll appear in the semi-finals and
it will disappear.
Probably stay there.
This is the kind of song that will be 11th. It won't just make it into the final.
It'll get local support. It'll get pockets of people across there that gets in the votes, but not quite enough.
I don't think to go necessarily over. Western. Yeah, no.
But even with that, I put it down as a miss, because I'm just going to come back to, I don't feel anything.
Miss for me, flat.
Yes, I have to say this is my miss.
Yep, so there we are, Croatia. The staging will be there. go out, enjoy yourself. You've got your career. Keep it going, and we'll see you back here next year. Right, okay, Norway now, and it was their anniversary for MGP and decided to bring in all the songs and then realised that wasn't quite enough, so they cut down the programme. So we have all the songs with just at the semi-final stage, and through all of that, they needed more attention. They got that with their winning song. So Ulrika is heading to Rotterdam. I know what everybody's thinking. The cake's coming up after this one. Okay, just realize I know what it is. Ho, ho. Right, but before that, we have Norway and attention. Look, there were problems with the voting in the final MGP. Just a few. And there have been lots of ructions and discussions about that. But it is, to be fair, it's a live show. They had a, if this happens, we do this. Maybe that wasn't communicated very well to the public, but these sort of things happen. I think the other thing to remember is the favourite going in was Ulrike, mm-hmm. and the winner was Ulrike. So yeah, there might have been a different path. We might have seen Ryan's hand fire just one more time, and we would have enjoyed that. You know, we didn't even get really into the final, so it's like I always wanted a bit more of that. So at the end of the day, we have attention, and it's a song that I now cannot unsee the staging. Thank you, Donna.
My pleasure. We'll come to that in a moment then, won't you?
How about now? Let's come to it now. That was a perfectly good setup line and you've just left it hanging.
Sorry, you know, I'm one for tearing down your walls. No, this staging for me, particularly when it comes to the second chorus, is Conchita Wurst.
Yep, there's the
all
gold,
the way Conchita Wurst
dress,
every little bit of pyro, the kind of golden lighting swoop down to one single spot, and then we've got all that low fogger coming in. It's very emotional moment, and it does grab your attention.
Yeah, but whereas Rise Like a Phoenix was a song about being yourself, being proud, and standing up and going, "This is me."
Yeah,
that's it. This is me, Ulrike. Maybe I'm reading the lyrics wrong. Maybe I'm reading it too deeply. But for me, this is a song about a woman who's saying, I want to change to fit with you. I'm going to sit here. Her partner needs to validate her. And that sits awkwardly with me. And I hope I'm reading it wrong.
It does feel a bit kind of, I need your attention. Please love me. I'll do whatever it takes. Which, you know, given, you know, last year's People's Champion and their whole kind of, you know, spirit in the sky and lots of sort of and we've come to this.
Yes.
I mean,
she's at that point in her life where she's not confident in herself at all, and she's feeling that she's needing to do stupid things clearly to impress someone else, and then she can't understand why she's doing it. So
poor life choices are
there will be a lot of people that will identify with that completely. Oh, yes. And it's a very stripped back song, I feel. You know, it's very simplicated. Is that a word?
Simplicated.
It is now.
Hey, I've created a new word.
So simplicated.
Exactly. Yeah, it's stripped back to its bare bones almost, isn't it, this song? So you can find something in it, I'm sure, that you can go with, run with, whether it grabs the emotions or your attention.
Yeah, I mean, the pun is there. It's an easy one for every single commentator, scriptwriter to hand over to their commentator on the Saturday night. No, I just, I mean, even if I put aside the lyrics, and in Eurovision's history, you know, you got to go back a fair bit, there's been some really dodgy lyrics and songs. Listening to the composition, this is so by the numbers that the first time watching it and listening to it, I went, and this happens now, and this happens now. And sometimes you want that comfy overcoat of familiarity. You know, when you go back to somewhere like Hasta La Vista, you know what's going to happen with it, and you're okay with that. But I listen to attention, and I know what's coming, and I'm not okay with that.
Yeah,
there's no risk in the composition. No. The lyrical side is It's not sitting comfortably with me. You can find different things in it. The thing I find that I'm uncomfortable with, and I can't unread that now.
Yeah, it's dubious to me. It could soundtrack a nice, sad, Scandi teenage drama that where someone makes very poor life choices, and maybe that's the vote they're going for. Yeah. I don't know, but it is a bit dodgy.
Yeah. I don't know where this is going to sit amongst all the rest of the songs. It sounds of desperation, doesn't it, really?
But at the same time, it could also be a good ballad, and there's lots of audience identification for some reason, and it picks that up, and technically the juries go, that's the one.
I think the majority of it's in the emotion she puts in, and she was certainly...
She can bring the emotional core of the song really well and bring it to stage.
It's her own written song as well, and I always feel there's a bit more of a connection, no matter what level of the song. If a person has been involved in the songwriting, then they will always put a little bit more into it because it's personal to them. I think Morland co-wrote this as well, composed it.
That explains the emotion.
Yes, exactly. So as long as she can bring that 100% to the table, there'll be something there. Whether it's good enough to win, different matter.
Well, it's no Kaino. So, I mean, I'm just...
What is?
No. What is? But what is? But I think, I don't know, it might qualify enough sad teenagers vote for it.
Let's not lumber her with last year's entry.
No, they were one to themselves.
Kaino is Kaino and Ulrika is Ulrika.
That is true.
And the song has to stand on its own merits in front of the tens of millions of TV viewers in the grand final. And for me... It doesn't make good use of that 3 minutes. Look, it's miss. It's not working with me, and that's it.
I mean, for me, it edges into miss just because. It just doesn't move me enough. The lyrics are a little bit dubious. Miss.
I'm going to be a bit more positive with this one. I'm at least going to give it a maybe. Purely because it's been a bit of an earworm since I actually heard it. I think with its simplistic lyrics and the very obvious tune that you can all follow, it's very formulaic, it comes back at the most random points when you think you're doing something into a task and then, it's popped into my head.
Sudden Ulrika.
Or I'll have an Ulrika moment. An Ulrika moment.
Guess what we've got now?
Oh, what have we got now?
What is it, Ewan? Tell us.
We've got a cake to bake.
Yay!
Today's cake, Cherry Blakewell.
Oh.
Okay, dive in. And while they're diving in, we're going to head over to Belarus and Val's song, Davidna.
Davidna, Davidna, засталася мена. Davidna, Davidna, востро месяц нас ядна.
Right then, cake first, Belarus, hold on, we'll get to you. Cherry Bakewell, hit, miss or maybe. Oh no, we have to do the description first. It's Cherry Bakewell.
It's very yummy.
It's very tasty.
There we go. Hit.
Definitely a hit.
Absolutely.
At some point, we're going to have to do a recipe book on Patreon. But for now, we have hit, miss, maybe for Belarus going forward. And this is a pretty stylishly choreographed number from the national selection.
Oh, they're going 100% for the armography, aren't they? Esther Peony must be really jealous right now.
I can see Craig on Strictly just going, darling, I love the armography. I love what you're doing.
And then you bring the keyboard in on Casters.
And we'll have to say
would you
that.
Like anything from the trolley, love?
A little bit of synth drum there.
Yeah. It's a weird one here because I can't really remember the song, but I can remember the sort of tune that the horns made, the... that's it. But visually, it's left an impact on me. I can easily recall, the look of the three members of Val, the wig, the moving thing on Casters. Nice, subtle. Oh, yeah, I remember that one. That's the clip you use in the 30-second recap. So, Eurovision Song Contest, so many people go, it's about the song. But here, it's actually the vision that's winning out.
Definitely. And actually, sort of for the better in a sense. When I first heard the song, I think I kind of forgot it until I saw the video of the live performance. And then it was like, oh, okay, I've got this one now. I can associate this song with this visual and it's all good.
And then when it runs through at the end to go, who's your vote for it? You're going to go, yep, weird silvery Annie-like hairstyle thing.
Synth on wheels, that's what I'm voting for. It was pretty much the same with me. I kind of had to go through and recap kind of when we were sort of researching for this, and I was like, oh, them with the dancer voguing and the silver wig of amazingness. And that's how I remember it now.
In a way, and actually, this one works in a positive level, whereas the Australian one doesn't for me.
Yes, very much so.
Yeah, and I think it's because that one is kind of self-deprecation for her, in a sense, and it looks like a cheapened down version compared to what they had.
This feels slick for given the budget that they had, probably.
And this one kind of... I don't think it ties in with the lyrics at all.
We just don't know.
No. As it's obviously in a Belarusian. You've got the dynamics with the keyboardist, and then you've got the dancer behind her as well.
Just and flapping away and the stroking the keyboardist.
Just his elbow, though. Just his elbow. This is television for the family.
It's just the spot just above the elbow. Just there.
Maybe that's what activates him.
Perhaps
that's why he goes off on wheels.
Yeah.
Where's his control alt delete?
Just reboot him there.
And there are no props.
No props.
Okay, right. They've got the keyboard, they've got the guitar, and you can technically call them props. But they're just there in smart black outfits doing the thing, and I'm completely drawn in. Yeah. I have no idea why. I have no idea what they're doing. I know why I couldn't do it. That's really skillful. Great.
Yeah.
I don't think it's going to give them a brilliant result.
No.
But
no.
It's got the potential to catch enough imagination, I think.
It makes you want to actually... maybe listen to it a bit more, and it's not the most outstanding song that I've heard so far.
Listening to it, I just skip over the song.
Yes, it's one I had to go, oh yeah, it's that person again. I think you already said it before.
Yeah. Very much like the visuals of how I remember it. The song,
it's Eurovision.
Exactly. Yes. Yeah.
But it's a bop. I mean, I would, if it came on in the Euroclub, I would be there. Doing the armography with everybody.
It's one of the sort of...
lot of swing.
Starters to get you moving, isn't it?
Yeah, warm the crowd up before you go to the proper bangers
and,
later.
And everybody around the edge going, fabulous, darling.
Yes. And not get your 10 padlock.
Not get your 10 padlock. This is not a 10 paddle. Because we don't have 10 panels.
We don't.
We have 3 paddles. Yes. Which one are you lifting up?
I'm torn because I feel like I want to say a mild hit based on, I don't know what I'm basing it on, the visuals possibly.
Raise a paddle.
Oh, I'm going to say hit. I'm going with hit.
Ooh. Hit, fair enough then.
Quick before I change my mind.
Oh, I'm still going for a maybe, because if I'm basing a song just on the visuals, then it needs some work, so maybe.
Yeah, I think I'm in a pretty similar scope. Don't recall the tune. We just heard it. I don't recall the tune, but I can recall the look. That might be enough, but at the same time, if a package comes along that has the look and the song, then this one gets left behind for Belarus. But there's something there. So it's a maybe from me. And we are one to go here. ESCinsight.com for your comments. ESCinsight.com/Patreon for your support. But if you don't want to do Patreon, just find us in the social networks, press a like, share the links, get the love out, and we will be happy for all of that. Okay. We've got one left.
Ooh. Which one is it you're in? What could it be?
I'm building it up. I'm only building up Lithuania.
Yay!
The heat is getting higher. I feel that I'm on fire. The world is my desire. I feel that I'm on fire.
Yes, it's the Root Band On Fire for Lithuania. a quirky entry, but one that has captured a lot of hearts and a lot of love. And isn't it just wonderful?
Oh, it's fabulous. We've been needing a bit of this, haven't we? After all the ballads at the beginning of the season. Yeah.
And that's just this episode of Jukebox Jury.
Yay!
We need to blast the sad boys away with a nice bit of dancing.
No, we don't. We need to appreciate them and go, yeah, that's great. Some people will like that. Mm-hmm. Some people will like the Roop.
That is true.
I'm in the latter camp.
Yes, I think actually everyone here today is
a Roop loving.
We are Roopers.
Rooper Rumpus.
Rooper Troopers.
I lost my heart to a Rooper Trooper.
Did you? Now there's a song.
Everybody hold up that Captain America gift. There we go. So now there's something for our older listeners and our younger listeners.
Content.
Look, this is a song that the fandom love. This is a song that, through the national final season, went to the top of the odds. There was a point with Lithuania, like, we are number one. We are the winners of Eurovision, if it was held right at that point. But I think that, in the same way that Sweden put so much love onto Anna Bergendahl, there's a lot of love going on the Roops. And in terms of its Eurovision chances, I'm going to start there and work backwards to the song. It needed to go into this part of the year, in late March, it needed to go in top of the odds. It needed to be able to stand up and go, I'm winning. Because then more people writing the top list going, oh, Lithuania's at the top. People who are doing the running order go, we need to put Lithuania on later because there's an anticipation. And there were other songs in the last weeks of the national final season which came along and just clawed it back or just went over or... in the case of Iceland, managed to appear on Channel 4's The Last Leg topical news programme, and we're not quite sure how that happened.
I mean, no. Berko's done a lot of things in his time, but wearing a pixel face, sweatshirt, daddy style, I'm not going to unsee that.
We're not doing Iceland, though. No. We're doing Lithuania. And actually, yes. You know, this is my point. Lithuania could get lost with the general audience. The fans are going to love this forever. Yeah. Here at this table, I think, are going to love it forever. We're going to keep doing that. It's fire. They're not bunny ears.
They're not. But
that is true. It's meant to be a flame rather than just bunny ears or wiggling at the back of
the
your
clue
head.
Is in the title.
Yes, same as last year with Bilal. You know, it was meant to be a crown, not just something wiggling at the top of his head.
Sometimes the choreo is just lost on people like us.
Yeah.
But the song itself, this is modern. It's stylish. It's memorable. It's got the hooks. It's of the now, I feel.
He says,
being very much older than the people who are the now, who know the now.
It's very much of then as well, because they're using a monosynth in this. It's very clean, precise notes, and it gives you that solid rhythm and beat throughout.
And it's very minimalist. It's nice. Yes. I like it's clean.
Yeah.
There's not too much.
The lyrics in this are simplified as well.
Fire. Higher. Desire.
Yeah.
That's all you need.
On fire.
On fire.
Higher.
Higher fire desire.
Yeah.
Sounds a bit like The Apprentice on some sort of drug.
Does. It feels like they've crowdsourced that round of meeting tables.
But what I love about this is appealing to the rock part of me. Because I've always recognised that I appreciate bass lines more than melody. A lot of people just latch onto the melody and the bass line doesn't do anything. So when they're listening to rock music, like, I don't hear what's going on here. It's all big thumpy noises. And I'm like, I'm here for the big thumpy noises. And the Roop have managed to get that perfect because they've got that synth, that... So there is that grab for me going, yep, got this. But it's got that lovely high note of... And there are two camps and it's brought them together and both camps are satisfied.
Yeah, no, I agree. I mean, it's got a nice sort of thumpy, doofy bass that you can see the people throwing themselves onto the dance floor to that. But you've also got that almost twee kind of wee, wee, wee.
Almost like child's first keyboard, isn't it?
It's
your finger picking with the notes.
Yeah.
But it's so memorable for that. It's so easy to get that as
an earworm. Kind of what it's done for me this year is kind of what Lake Malawi did last year, which was that I didn't rate it. And you go from meh. Two weeks later, you're singing.
Hello,
the chorus.
We are the Roop.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are the Roop from Vilnius. Like, oh, that, It's in our heads, in our house. It is very much on fire.
Yeah. I love the idea about the dance floor, because you can see somebody doing a good, proper horns in the air, neck going, heavy metal, you know exactly the move I'm thinking of.
Yeah. Yep.
But you'd also have the little pixie next to it with the arms in the air, floating around,
waving about,
spinning, the sort of shot you always get when the BBC cover Glastonbury in the way they don't cover Eurovision.
With a flower crown on her head.
Oh, yeah. Flower crowns.
We know her.
We don't have flower crowns this year.
Driving a Fiat 500.
All right, okay, we're getting away. You might have got the idea that we quite like this song.
It's
all right.
It's
not bad.
It'll do.
Yeah, it's all right.
Finally, the Baltics actually, you know, bringing it back.
Yes. Yeah. I think they missed out a little bit with the lion last year.
Run with the lion.
I know, Run with the Lions.
It had a nice hook, but it needed a bit more song.
Yeah.
The Loop have got the rest of the song. So, hit, miss, maybe, or it's all right.
That's all right.
Yeah, it's all right.
Yeah. It's all right. There we go. Three all rights. A first for Jukebox Jury. In actual fact, it is hit, isn't
absolutely.
It?
Absolutely. Oh, yeah.
We have a form to fill in. We have to do it correctly.
Got to do the paperwork.
So, hit.
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 Hit. Hit. There we go. And we have our five songs. Let's have a look at the scores. We have Croatia in fifth place in this round. Norway coming up in fourth. Third, we hand to Australia. Belarus taking second. And Lithuania and the Roop in first place. We've kind of half covered it, but let's just quickly really focus in on that. Can On Fire win Eurovision?
Well, by that, it can. But I don't think it will overall.
It's one of those years where if everything stays relatively flat and close in points, it's a roll of the dice, essentially, depending on where jury points and televote falls. There is potential there, but it's like you've got to roll like 11 or 12 and you've only got one shot at it, and other songs only need to roll a 7.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's going to...
It's a long shot. I wouldn't put my house on it. If somebody held a gun to my head, I would be choosing other countries. But if it did win, I could understand why.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I can see why it would sneak up on whoever is the favourite and just kind of have everybody doing the dance, and then suddenly Vilnius 2021. And I'd love that to be the case. I think it will probably comfortably be top 10, but I'm not convinced it's going to...
I think Lithuania are on for one of the best results in recent history.
This is definitely going to be one of those dance floor memorable dances that will go on with the fans for a long time.
Just as we mentioned kind of well on the show, kind of just, we're Eurovision, we know what we're doing. I think the Roop have got a good chance of being the fans' winner.
Yes. Oh, definitely.
Yeah. I'd love to go to a sort of crowded pub in Edinburgh and see the Roop perform. Kino style, and just have everybody in a very small space doing their dance.
Absolutely.
That would be good.
I'd like a double bill.
Leaf Depot's still open, I believe.
It is, yes. It got saved. Yes. For those of you who weren't following, Kino after Eurovision played the Leaf Depot, which has a capacity of about 45.
I think it's about 50,
So we went from Tel Aviv to...
Tiny pub.
I can touch both sides of the pub if I stretch my arms out. Oh, hi, Fred. Hi, Tom. There we go. Music is music. And we find it wherever we are. We found it at Eurovision Song Contest. And we've also found two judges here who've helped me go through the songs this week. So thank you to Donna Sluggett.
Thank you.
And we can find out more of your critique, criticisms and comedy at...
ESC Fan TV.
There we go. And Laura is...
I'm just around. I'm on Twitter.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. Scottish whiskey.
Scottish whiskey.
We'll leave you to work that one out yourself.
Yes, you will find me. If you do your Gaelic Duolingo, you will find me.
Yep. And there's a whole bundle of Eurovision content coming over the Twitter as well. And of course, ESCInsight.com for myself and the rest of the team. Jukebox Jury, of course, we're running 8 episodes and they will run right up to the moment where we leave to head over to Rotterdam and attend this year's Eurovision Song Contest, where hit, miss, or maybe means absolutely nothing. What counts is do's. But what counts now?
Guitarists.
It's guitarists again. are people trying to push me out the door here? It doesn't go guitarists, it goes guitars. This episode of Jukebox Jury was hosted by Ewan Spence with Laura Clay and Donna Sloggett. ESCInsight.com for all your criticisms, brickbats and bouquets. And flower crowns.